underneath the golden arches. We love it. I'm loving it for sure. On Wednesday nights, we want to thank our three county coaches up in the hot seat. First, we have coach from East Washington, John Dablo. We also want to thank Bubba Abbott and for taking time and doing this. And always a wonderful program. Marie Lowry down at McDonald's and all the great folks down there. And don't forget, we're going to be here with all three county coaches. All right. So we want to thank our sponsors too. And we also want to add Lynx Clothing and Shoes, proud to be a support East Washington, West Washington, and Salem. So stop in and check out their complete line of fan apparel for your favorite team, including hats, t-shirts, hoodies, and exclusive glitter designed t-shirts for the girls and more. They also offer custom design screen printing and personalized, as well as complete and line of clothing, shoes, and sports for the whole family. Lynx Clothing and Shoes, conveniently located on the north side of the square right here in Salem. Open Monday through Thursday from 9 to 5. Fridays 9 to 6 and Saturdays 9 to 3. All right, mention that you heard this ad on Coach's Corner and receive an additional 10% off your everyday low price. All right, let's get on down there, gentlemen. We're ready to talk football. You are live on the air.
McDonald's Restaurant for our Coach's Corner program this evening. Sponsored to you by McDonald's. And we got a pretty good crew of sponsors this year: Eddie Gilstrap Motors, Salem True Value Hardware, Meadowview Health Home and Rehab, and Salem Crossing. All sponsors here, and also Lynx Clothing and Shoes. We appreciate their support. And joining us first up here tonight as we talk a little high school football, Coach John Dablo from the Eastern Musketeers. As the Musketeers got their season underway last Friday night, as all the high school teams in Indiana got started in this 2013 campaign, Musketeers started at home there, taking on county rival West Washington in a much anticipated game throughout the summer, but a good start to the football season with those two county schools getting underway. And I know Coach Dablo, not as good a start as he would have liked to have had, but nevertheless got the season opening game under their belt, and kind of know where you stand now as far as what you need to work on. And tough game down there, but a game that got started pretty interesting. Both teams getting on the board early before much time had went off the clock in the first quarter, Coach.
Yeah, it did. Of course, we didn't help matters by fumbling the opening kickoff and getting the ball on the 10 or 15-yard line, and then letting them score the very first play of the game. I thought it was deja vu all over again. But I was glad the way our kids responded and came back out, and I think we've had that play called for about 2 months now. The kids came out and executed and got us right back in the ball game, we just didn't execute offensively well enough to really keep ourselves in the ball game. We had a couple stops and forced a punt and had an interception there and got the ball back. But I think defensively we were on the field something like 50 or 60 plays just in the first half. So offensively, we were pretty stagnant other than the big play to start the game. So we didn't do any favors for our defense. We got a little tired, and they kept feeding the ball to 44, Tyler Dunn there, and he was tough to bring down, and he's a good running back, he wanted to show us that night, and he did. Third quarter, we played into 0-0, and then they scored 21 on us in the fourth. It is what it is, and hopefully we'll, like you said, we kind of got to see ourselves against a very well-coached, good football team, we think. We think West Washington's going to have a nice year, and we just got to be able to execute a little bit better on the offensive side of the ball to give ourselves a chance in some of these games.
Yeah, it's always so hard to come into that first game and not knowing, where you stand on either side of the ball, offense or defense. And, it's always a hard when you leave your defense out there and struggle a little bit on the offensive side of getting first downs. And like you said, the kids get wore out. Before you know it, the game gets away from you. But your guys fought hard, come back there after that score. It would have been very easy to to kind of fold the tent at that point, but they didn't, and they come out and executed that play. Tell us about that that play to tie it up there in the first quarter. I know you said you'd had that call for a couple months, but
yeah, we had. Yeah, now you know, being a Wing T team, we run that double handoff play, the crisscross play, and it was a double handoff, flip back to the quarterback, throw a bomb down the field. And he was wide open, so it looks awful pretty on tape. I know that. It looks mighty pretty on film. So it was fun. It was exciting. You know, I mean, the crowd. I look up and it's 8-8, and there's 11 minutes and 30 seconds left in the first quarter. So it was very exciting. 30 seconds, and then we kind of got into that grind type of game. It seemed like that first quarter lasted forever. And we were out there for a long time, you know. But you know, we like I said, we just didn't do things. We didn't execute well enough to keep the game close, which is what we have to do against a good quality opponent like that. You know, I think obviously the fumbles kickoff to start the game. We threw an interception on our own 20. You know, and we could have definitely done some things to limit them and played a little bit better. But again, hats off to them. Their kids came in. They played hard. And I think they're going to be a very good football team in Washington County this year.
Yeah, no doubt. I know they were prepared coming in. And a game that, you know, both teams look forward to, like we mentioned, over the summer. But, you know, that one's under your belt now. You know the things that you had to work on. And I know this week I'm sure you're probably getting prepared for a Clarksville team coming in showed a little bit of flexed their muscles somewhat last year, had a decent season down there. I know they had struggled in years past, but seemed like they kind of regrouped a little bit last year, and always a good opponent in the Mid-Southern to start out with. And you got to take your team on the road and go down to Clarksville to open up that Mid-Southern campaign this Friday night. I know I'd heard that game got moved back to 8 o'clock.
It did. Yeah, it did. I'm glad you mentioned that. I was going to mention that if you didn't. Yeah, due to the heat, it's a little bit more precaution. Maybe try to get that sun down a little bit more and let that heat go. But, you know, I our kids have been doing really well with the heat. I think, you know, that we've encouraged them to kind of embrace the heat rather than constantly think about it, because, you know, we remember those days well, going through pads, and it has been hot out there.
Yeah, this week has been tremendously bad. Yeah. They've been pretty easy this summer.
I know.
From what we've been used to in summers past, but this week it kind of turned up the heat a little bit on you, and I'm sure that, you know, fatigue does have a factor. And Friday night, it was plain old hot.
It was hot, it was hot Friday night, yep, and, you know, I think we ran so many plays. I mean, they were sucking wind. We were sucking wind. And, you know, they just were able to put the ball in the end zone a little few more times than us. But we're, you know, we're excited about going down and starting the conference play and hopefully getting on the road. We've never beaten Clarksville at Clarksville. You know, I think the kids are anxious to come back out and put that a good offensive performance out there on the field. You know, and hopefully they'll be ready to go come Friday night.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about what you know. I'm sure you've already watched tape on Clarksville, what you see out of them, and what you're going to expect to see from them this Friday night.
Yeah, you know, they always, it seems like they always have some athletes that they put on the field. So we know that in their backfield and out the receiving core and their quarterback are always going to be good athletes. So we got to contain those guys. We got to gang tackle as a group a little bit better than what we did last week. And you know, I don't know that they have the big bruising back like West Washington has. That's gonna run us over. But they have more of a shifty guy that you know, gets out in space and could really do some damage. And so we got to contain them and just play a good football game and go down there and play physical and try to control the line of scrimmage, you know, and see if we can't move the ball a little bit better than what we did. You know, the three and outs just aren't gonna get it done. You know, I don't mind punting the ball, but we got to move it a little bit more than what we did and put ourselves in a position to keep the game close and just, you know, want that desire to get into the end zone. You know, running backs need to play with a little bit more desire to get those extra yards. And I think if we do that, then we got a good chance at giving ourselves a chance to win the ball game.
Right. You know, going into the game this Friday, you know, how do you prepare for Clarksville? Is anything special you do, or just still working on the same things?
Yeah, you know, each and every week? Yeah, I think for us, especially with our performance last week, we need to get better at the things that we weren't very good at on Friday night, and that's kind of been our focus, is to get better at the things that we didn't do very well on Friday night, blocking. A little bit better staying on our blocks and blocking the correct guy and taking the correct angle and being a little bit more physical. And at this part of the year, I think we need to take care of ourselves first. And then, not saying that we haven't game plan for Clarksville. I don't want to say that. But the main focus has been getting us better at the things that we think are going to carry us through the rest of the season. And really, we've had really three good days of practice. I've been, like I said, real proud of the kids and embracing this heat. And I think they're very hungry for a win. And I hope that they can play like that. I hope that they can play with the desire and the hunger of what it takes to win a ball game on a Friday night.
Right. Tell us a little bit about who played well for you last Friday night in that game against West Washington.
Yeah, Austin Roberts, our quarterback, didn't have a bad game. Obviously, threw the one touchdown. Had a couple drop balls that we had that we hit guys in space. He didn't have a bad game. Jordan Eberle ran the ball a few times, picked up some positive yardage for us. Thought he did a nice job for us. Our backfield really together. Cody Essis ran a nice run for us, and we're probably going to try to get him the ball a few more times this week. And Scott Ames, I know, ran the ball for us, once or twice and picked up the 5 yards. So, guys that are like that, we're going to try to get the ball a little bit more often, our big fullback, Brian Arnold, went down in the first or second quarter. I think it may have been the first quarter. He went down with a bit of a bruised thigh. So he probably wasn't as effective as we were hoping he was going to be coming in.
Right.
But he still toughed it out, he came back in the second half and again tried to come back and play. And that's the kind of kid that needs to come. We talked about him a little bit last week. I think he should be ready to go this weekend. He hasn't shown any signs in practice of that bothering him a bit. So I think he'll be ready to go, defensively, we felt like Levi O'Brien seemed like he was in on about every tackle that we had, had a bunch of tackles for him. We'd like to see that pile get pushed a little bit closer to the line of scrimmage. I thought we were catching a little bit too much there, some of the guys haven't been in a varsity game, or a full varsity game. They got time here and there. And they'll get better. They're going to get better. Some other guys that, Dylan Hogan, who's just sophomore for us, didn't play too badly on the defensive line. Obviously, you mentioned Jordan Everly offensively, but he did have an interception for us. So there's guys in there that we were pleased with. West Washington is a very good football team, and I hope they can put some things together and win a few ball games. I think they're going to win a few this year.
Yeah, and that spread offense is something that's definitely hard to defend. It seems like with them, they've always got several guys in that set that are capable of getting the job done. Tyler Dunn, had a great game for them.
I don't think spread or no spread,
right.
They just flat ran over it, Bubba. So they could have been running the I or the wing T or anything else, and it would have mattered to just hand the ball to 44, and he was going to pick up a few yards. So, but no, you're right. I mean, they got athletes all over the field, and they got a quarterback that can get the ball to them, and they got a nice squad. They got a nice little football team.
Yeah, Clarksville coming up Friday night. Like we said, that game moved back to 8 o'clock due to the heat, so an 8 o'clock start there.
That's right.
Down at Clarksville, so make sure you make the trip down there. If you can't get down there, you can listen to that game live on WSOMRadio.com. on the website and tune in to the guys. I'm sure they'll be there bringing the call for you. And looking forward to another high school Friday night football game. Real quickly, before we let you go, I know you got to get out of here because you've got a lot to do and we keep you late.
But, no, it's fine.
But I'm sure your other squads have been underway with your JV teams getting started this past week. And how'd they do Monday night?
JV, we ended up losing, I think it was 20-0 over at West Washington. But again, I wasn't able to get over there for that one. But my coaches report the kids played hard. And you know, they got better that night. And on that level, that's all we could ask for those guys. And they just got to continue to keep playing hard, and good things are going to happen.
Yeah, I know you got a strong seventh grade bunch coming up. You know, I've been able to watch them over the years because I got a boy here, son, that plays seventh grade, so I'm familiar with them. But good numbers in that class.
Yeah, you know, good numbers. Yeah,
you got several of them that are playing up a little bit on some of your eighth grade teams as well. But you know, they play tomorrow night over here at Salem. So
correct. Yeah,
you get a chance to come out and watch some of the younger kids play tomorrow night. It'd be a good night.
It'd be a great night. I think they'd move that game back to 6:30. Instead of 6 o'clock, and a little bit for the heat, but we're really excited about our seventh grade team, and we're excited about our eighth grade team as well. You know, our seventh grade team got off to a good start against West Washington on Thursday night, and then our eighth grade ended up, I think they ended up losing 22-20 to West Washington.
Okay,
and so we're excited for the future of Eastern football. I mean, we really think that we got some kids coming up that are finally, you know, not to take nothing against the guys that we've had play for us, but we feel like we finally got some football players that have played football for a long time now, you know, and whereas before, you know, their freshman year might be the first time that they've played for us, so we're very excited about those groups coming up, and we hope that they stick with us and stay with us, because we think that we got some good things coming up.
Yeah, I definitely think so as well, and looking forward to the Musketeers this Friday night down at Clarksville. Get down there and cheer them on.
I know
we'll be cheering them on. Hopefully the big crowd down there will follow you down.
That's right. Come on down. Go to your favorite restaurant. Go out to eat. The game's going to move back an hour. And come over and watch us play Clarksville.
That's always a good road trip for a fat guy like me.
That's
there's
right.
Plenty of places to eat.
There's plenty to eat down there. That's right.
All right, Coach. Good luck Thank Friday
you.
Night.
Appreciate
you coming
it.
In
Thank
again.
You.
And we'll be watching the Musketeers this Friday night as they open up the Mid-Southern Conference campaign for their first game of that conference schedule as they take on Clarksville down at Clarksville. 8 o'clock start. That game, like we said a couple times here, has been moved back to 8 o'clock due to the weather, the heat. So hopefully that'll make it a little bit easier on the young men. I know when it's this hot out, it's tough to walk out on that field and give it your all, because you know, the heat just really zaps it out of you. So hopefully the Musketeers will play well down there Friday night and be looking for their first victory on the 2013 campaign here coming up this Friday night. A lot going on here football-wise this week as the Indiana Hoosiers open up their campaign tomorrow night. Got some Hoosier fans in the house, and the Hoosiers open up tomorrow night against a real good Indiana State team. Indiana State was probably one of the premier backs in Division I teams in the NCAA with Shakir Bell, and you know, the Hoosiers will have to be on top of their game, but Coach Wilson, I think, got everybody pumped up. I know you can win tickets on WSLM. They've been giving them away all week long. Becky's been doing that in the morning on high-low and several other opportunities to do that. And I know IU's wanting a big crowd up there for their season opener on Thursday night. So if you can get out and head up to Bloomington, should be a good night for it. Night football won't be quite as hot, so get up there in the stands, get yourself a hot dog and an ice cold beverage, and enjoy the game up there as the Hoosiers get underway in the college football season here tomorrow night as they open up against Indiana State right there in Bloomington. And that game will be live here on WSLM Radio. A lot of football, as we mentioned before. The Eastern 7th and 8th grade will be playing at Salem tomorrow night against the Lions, or the Cubs in this case. It's that game getting underway also a little bit later due to the heat. We'll start off at 6:30 with that 7th grade game, and then the 8th grade will follow, as a lot of football going on at that time of year. About football every night. Youth league underway. They're having practice right now. A lot of getting ready for that season, opening up here in a few weeks. The Sunday after Labor Day, the youth league will get underway at Salem, and then they'll continue their schedule throughout the season. And all those games this year will be on Sunday afternoon. Give everybody plenty of time to get out of church and get over to the fields and watch the younger kids perform and show off their talents there in the youth league division. So looking forward to that as well. So a lot of football action going on around the area this week, and starts off tomorrow night with the Indiana Hoosiers. They're at home against Indiana State at Bloomington. And then, like we mentioned, the Eastern Musketeers will be on the road Friday night as they travel down to Clarksville to take on the Generals in that Mid-Southern Conference clash down there at Clarksville High School. That game, 8 o'clock start for the Musketeers in that one. And I want to thank our sponsors here this evening once again. Eddie Gostrap Motors here in Salem, your home for Ford, Chrysler, Dodge Truck, and Jeep vehicles right there off the square, 207 South Main. Stop in and see the good old boys there at Gostrap's for all your car needs, and they'll be glad to take care of you there. Also, Salem True Value Hardware just celebrated a big anniversary out there. Todd and the gang will take care. You can get about anything you want at True Value. All you got to do is ask for it. I'm sure they've got it. If they don't, they'll get it for you. So go out and see them. Meadowview Health and Rehab, and also Salem Crossing, our sponsors here tonight on our Coach's Corner program. We'll move right along as we continue with our program here this evening. Joining us now on the air, Salem head football coach R.J. Hartsfield, as the Lions opened up their campaign last Friday night. You heard that call right here on WSLM Radio, 97.9 on your FM dial, as the Lions went over to Paoli to take on a good Rams squad in that week one contest. The Lions coming up a little bit short at the end, but boy, it was an exciting game in the second half. I'm sure if you were listening to that game, I've been had a lot of calls this week from people saying, man, Bubba, you got to calm down a little bit. You're going to have a stroke up there in the press box. And I tell you, the Lions sure did everything that they could possibly do to get that game and get it out of there with a W, but just come up a little short as Paoli and will punch one in there late and end up winning that game 29-20 over the Lions over there at Paoli. And Coach, you know, I know you're never happy with a loss, that's for sure, but I thought the kids really come out, competed, they fought, and I know that was what one of the main things that you were looking for going into that game was to come out and compete.
Yeah, I mean, we saw Paoli on film. We knew, you know, I coached over there and things, and I knew what type of team they were. You know, that football team is going to be a good football team, and you know they're gonna make a run. I truly believe that. You know, they've got the size, they've got the speed. They're the total package. I mean, they're a good football team, and you know, a lot of kids played in that same offense and defense since they were, you know, in youth league. And you know, they're big out on the perimeter. They're good blockers up front. They're big up front. Good football team. You know, obviously what we did Friday night, you know, was we fought. I mean, no other way you can put that. I mean, we didn't execute. You know, we played pretty poorly in reality. You know, but as far as the way that we played that game, I mean, you know, a lot of people don't know the X factor in football is the way you play the game. You know, do you play it emotionally, or do you play it with passion, or do you just lay down when things get tough? And, you know, our kids just, you know, we went into halftime and we were down and 22-7. And, you know, I don't know that you call it a challenge. I mean, I just told them, I said, there's one way to go here. You know, I said, I mean, I didn't really give the other option. You know, I just said, you can keep fighting, or you can go the other direction. And, you know, we talked about that a lot, you know, over the summer, and we, you know, the knock that we, I guess the knock that had been against Salem football for a while now is that, you know, when they got down, when we got down, you know, how would we handle it? Will we lay down, or will we keep fighting like we talked about all summer? And, you know, I truly believe they came out and fought. I mean, we were in shape. I think that played a big part of us hanging around in that game. Whereas, you know, a couple years back, the past few years here, that, you know, they've not been, these kids haven't worked nearly as hard in the summer as what I think they needed to work. And, you know, with that being said, they bought into that portion of it. And, you know, there's definitely, you know, when you have negative yards offensively, there's not much good that the offensive coordinator can say. You know, the head coach, I think our special teams played well. Defensively, I mean, yeah, the glaring stats of the turnovers and things, yeah, we played well, but we still had a lot of mistakes. I mean, but heck, when you put a stinking defense out on the field for 70 plays, you're going to give up some yards and things like that. So, you know, our focus this week has been the same as it's always been, to get better. And we did this week. I mean, we really put some pressure on some kids, and that's where we're going.
Right. Well, that game definitely an exciting start. I mean, I think the Paoli was shocked there off the bat when we come out and, you know, able to pick off that pass as Logan Kramer
or Cody.
I get the two, yeah. Kramer boys mixed up. I'm so used to Logan. But Cody come out, picked off that pass, returned it all the way down to the 10-yard line. Your offense come out, run a couple plays. McNeely able to punch it in from a yard out and go on the board first. Bravo come in. He was perfect on the night, got it through the uprights, and, you know, it was 7-0. And I think Paoli was standing there thinking, hey, we got ourselves a ball game here. But I give them credit. They come out. I really thought the Ballsmeyer kid at quarterback played exceptionally well for them. You know, he controlled the ball real well and done a nice job in the first half, you know, getting them three scores or setting up their three scores and scoring twice by himself. And like you said, it was 22-7 at the half. And, you know, I was sitting there at the half thinking just what you exactly said a while ago. I was thinking, you know, we got one choice here. We can either fold the tents or, you know, we can come out and fight. And that's definitely what the kids did. And, man, what a third quarter it was as the Lions come out, fought tooth and nail. And then late in the third, 1:14 to go in the third period, Kramer again on a 56-yard fumble return took it in for the score, and all of a sudden it was 22-14 after the PAT, and then it got even more exciting from there as Paoli got a little fumble-itis there, but I think a lot of that was caused by the Salem defense. There was some popping going on, and, you know, the kids come in and made a big hit. Davon Gant able to recover a fumble there and take it in for the score with 6:38 to go there in the ball game, and it was 22-20. Lions lined up, went for two, got it. And unfortunately, a holding penalty negated that two-point conversion and, you know, was unable to put those 2 points on the board to tie it. And then Paoli able to ice it there at the end with that drive and get a one-yard touchdown run and got the PAT 29-20. But I think, like you said, Coach, I know there was a lot of things that you take out of that ball game that, you know, you didn't play exceptionally well. And I know you weren't happy somewhat with some of the things the offense did, but the fight was definitely there. And as you mentioned, that's half the battle.
Yeah, mentality. I mean, it's a mentality. You look at how Paoli handled going down in that game. I mean, they're number six in the state, and they go down, you know, 7-0. And how do they handle that? You know, I mean, they're, right. The mentality of those kids, you know, over there, you know, is where we're trying to get to, you know. And I think this summer's helped these kids. You know, I think that game helped these kids as far as a mental standpoint. As far as the coaching staff, it, you know, it definitely lit a fire under me a little bit. You know, I was embarrassed, and I think our kids offensively were embarrassed. And, you know, we're going to get better from it, or we're going to make changes. And that's been the count of the week we've had. We're going to get better, or we're going to make changes. And we'll get better.
Well, that game over with. Now you head into the meat of the Mid-Southern. As from here on out, it's pretty much Mid-Southern until week 9. But, you know, this week you got a Silver Creek team coming in. They got their first victory Friday night against Springs Valley over at Valley. And they return home. First time we've traveled down there as a team to play them. We've played them a few times, but it's always been at home. Three times already on the schedule that we've played them, and this time we'll have to go to their house and play. They're a team that offensively has done pretty well for a startup football squad. The last few years, they've been able to put some points up on the board, got some athletes now at 4A school as they moved up a class. So they're competing in the postseason with some pretty heavy hitters. But nevertheless, it's a team that, we go into, can't take them lightly, especially on the offensive side of the ball.
At some point you gotta be a realist. You gotta look yourself in the mirror and say, how do we know how good we are? You talk about 9 turnovers or 7 turnovers Bailey had on Sunday night. And we still end up losing that game. I don't understand. You tell me we're gonna turn the football over 7 times and I'm gonna tell you that we're gonna get beat by 50. So, I think we're still searching on what type of football team we are. Obviously Silver Creek went down there at Valley, and they put on a show. They've got some kids that can run, that can block, and the number 7 Haynes kid, he's 6'2", 170 pounds. He's a stud. There's no other way to put it. He's a speed demon. He touched the ball 7 times in that game, and he scored 3 times. So, he scored running it, he scored catching it, receiving it. He's just athletic, and he's their safety on defense, and he's the receiver on offense. So up front, Silver Creek, they're 260 at one tackle, 250 at another tackle, 260 at guard, 200 and 205, at the other two spots. So, they're not small up front either. They're back. Their running back is 5'7", 175. So he's a kid. That's a pretty stalky kid. He runs hard, and he's got decent speed. I like the way he runs. He runs hard. He's a kid that's hard to bring down sometimes. Their quarterback, I think he's been a 3-year starter. I think it's his third year starting. And, he does a good job getting the football out of his hands. Teams try to blitz him pretty hard, and at least that we've watched on film. And he doesn't take many sacks. He's pretty agile, gets away from the pressure pretty well, and gets the football out of his hands pretty quickly. So makes it tough to get to him when he's getting the football out of his hands. So, definitely going to be we'll get to kind of see where we're at. Hopefully our kids take this game the same as they took the last one. And I think if they do, I think we'll be in good shape. But obviously, we've got to fix our problems offensively, and we will. I think we have this week, and we've really studied hard on film and looked at the mistakes. And, the one mistake that nobody can fix was that 285-pound nose guard that we played last week. And you'll play that in the MSC more than once. So, it's not something that you can make an excuse about, but we got to figure out a way to help that guy out. And, I think Zach Keltner handled him about 50% of the night, and I think he played hard, no doubt, but, he gave up 100 pounds on the kid, so that's tough. And, obviously I think he's looking at this center here, the center, because he's a nose as well, and the center and the nose guard, they'll be playing each other on both sides of football. He's 200 pounds, so he's a more Zach Keltner size kid. He's a darn good football player. I'm not taking anything away from him. I think he's their best defensive lineman and offensive, but, obviously 200 pounds versus 280 is a little bit different. We're excited to see how our offense takes off this week. I think, obviously Silver Creek, they haven't played the option all summer either. That's another hidden fact there that, our kids, we may have played well defensively, but our kids have played the option all summer as well. And Bailey played the option all summer as well. So we're just anxious to see how, we can't go out there and have a letdown this week. I think they're flying high on confidence. A lot of people in the community have said good game, whether or not it was a good game or not. It was an exciting game, yes, but execution-wise, we just stunk it up. And there's no other way to put it. We've got to get a lot better, and this week's a chance for us to prove that we know, that we can, that we can prove that our offense is capable of playing, and we put a lot of time in this week, so we're excited.
Yeah, looking forward to see how the offense does this Friday night. So far, that game still on at 7 p.m., or have they moved it back?
Nah, I think we're going to keep her at 7. I haven't heard any different. I really don't want to move it back if we don't have to, you know. And so I think our kids are in shape, and I think obviously if it's something that we have to do, then we're going to do that. I mean, we're going to keep our kids safe, but something I believe in, you need to train in the environment that you're going to play in, and our kids have this summer. You know, they've trained in heat, and just because it's hot, we went inside. So I think our kids are prepared. You know, tonight it's not going to be hotter. In my opinion, it's not going to be hotter on Friday than it was today outside. It hasn't changed our practice plan a lick. We've got great water grills that come around, and they fill up the water bottles, and our boys, when they're not getting a rep, they can get a shot of water, but we're not stopping, and our kids understand what we ask of them, so I hope it stays at 7.
So as far as you know right now, it will be 7 o'clock.
If I got to vote in it, it will be 7.
No change yet. I know some of the other schools around have already moved their games back to 8 o'clock, so I was just curious if you'd heard anything about that contest. So as far as we know right now, but you can stay tuned in here. We'll let you know if that game does get moved back any on time. But, going into to this Friday night, anything different in your game plan going against them? I know it's, a different look as far as the offense, but, how do you get prepared for Silver Creek?
Well, I mean, we just keep plugging away. I think any football team that you're going to talk to, any guy you're going to talk to as a football coach, we're not going to change the way we play football just because of facing the spread or the option or I think you make changes when you need to make changes. But, obviously we're playing without Mobham this week. Playing without a couple other kids who made some poor decisions, that really not expecting. But, we're going to get to a point where we got some kids that can still play. I don't think that it's going to kill us in any aspect, but game plan wise, I mean, we're just going to keep plugging. We got to block and we got to tackle. Football is a simple game. You got to block and you got to tackle. And, if you can't do either one of those two things, you're probably going to be in trouble no matter what scheme you run, no matter how good of a football minded coach you think you are. If you can't block and tackle, you can't win games. And that's we got to continue to stress blocking and tackling and taking care of the football. And, Friday night we took care of the football. Besides, we do one pick, just a poor throw, and we've studied that film. We know how we've got to make that change. And, so game plan wise, not much different really. Just going to keep trying to plug away.
Yeah, you talked a little bit earlier about the special team play last Friday night. I thought Spencer Meadows really come in and, as a sophomore punter for you, come in and really punted the ball well in that contest. I mean, he put it down the field, and I thought he had a really good game back there.
When you give your punter, when you give him time after time after time to punt, and, at the end of the night, he still ended up with a 39-yard average on a punt. He played well. I think he was our special teams player of the week this week. I think that's what our kids voted, and, he had plenty of chances, because we didn't do anything offensively. But definitely as a sophomore, I mean, Spencer came in after Andrew's issues. Spencer came in and played safety for us as well, and, really stepped up and was a solid football player for us. But, obviously you lose that fire that Andrew brings, a little bit. But Spencer's just as athletic, and he's smart, and he's fast, and, he did a great job when he was asked to come in and fill that role. And, you're going to see him again this week. Problem is, he was one of our JV guys, and he didn't get to play in that JV game. But anyway, he played well. Special teams, we flew around down the field, and that's what we asked of him. We got to have 11 guys for the football at all times, and we got to hit our PATs, and we've got to cover punts, and we've got to cover kicks, and, we've got to make the best of it when we get the chance to return it. And, obviously your goal is to return, only have kickoff return, just once, So if you can do that, you're in good shape.
Yeah, absolutely. And you talked a little bit about the JV. I know they played Monday night against Paoli there at home, ended up losing that game. But also your freshmen were in action. over at Brownstown and come out of that game to a low scoring game. Didn't get any points on the board, lost 8-0 to Brownstown's freshman. But with both teams, you know, typically when you throw your JV out there, you've got your sophomores and your freshmen and maybe a junior or two mixed in there. But wasn't able to do that Monday night because they both had games you know, kind of took a little bit away from the JV squad with the freshmen being over there. But it's so great to get those kids, those freshman reps. And I know that's something that you've been trying to do in building that freshman schedule up for your younger kids.
Yeah. I mean, at the beginning of the thing, we had five of them scheduled. And you know, with just some changes in how things went down. And we got down. We lost the Paoli freshman game because their numbers were down. And then Crawford County ended up fielding the JV team. So we lost the West Washington game that we were going to play. And then we lost probably going to lose the Pekin game as well.
Right.
But then the other night we scheduled, we did get Jasper. We picked up Jasper. They're coming to our place on September 19th for those guys. And, you know, I mean, my thing is with those freshman guys is they got to play. And,
right.
And, you know, when we get, you're talking 65 kids, 22 of them play varsity football, and that leaves you, what, you know, 40-ish kids. 40. You know, you're talking 40 kids, and how you play 40 kids at a JV level is beyond me. You know, even kids that I don't think that are great athletes, you know, if they've went through the process of everything that we've asked them to do, you know, they've got to play or they're not going to play next year. And, you know, one of the biggest things as a coach you look for is what are your numbers like, you know, constantly. Because, you know, you got to have a practice team. You got to have guys that are willing to go in there and do the work that some other people don't want to do. And, you know, our freshmen really have done a great job of getting better from that game on, you know, on Monday there, because they went down there and got some different looks that they really hadn't, we hadn't really practiced for. And, you know, come out there 8-0 you know, we come back and the greatest thing was some of those guys asking questions that were good questions. You know, they weren't asking dumb questions. You know, they're smart kids. You know, one guy that I was talking to is, you know, Joe Garlow, and I told him I'd give him a shout out here. So here it is, Joe. You know, I was talking to him and I asked him, you know, today I was talking to him about, you know, how's everything going? And he said, oh, it's going well. And I said, how's your grades? And he said, I got straight A's. And I said, well, I'll give you a shout out tonight. That's good stuff.
Well,
you know? So you know that you're dealing with some smart kids. You're dealing with some football savvy kids that, you know, they've won a lot of football games throughout. And, you know, they've got some ability. But it comes down to execution. And, you know, we didn't have them prepared for something they faced. And as coaching staff, we got better this week because we were forced to give them that, you know, give them the different looks. And we threw a lot of looks at them this week, and they had to adjust. And we let our quarterbacks make a lot of checks this week. And, you know, that's another X factor, you know, putting this offense in, you know, Friday night, you know, last Friday night, you know, if I let our quarterback go over there and just run all of our checks, you know, I didn't change a lot of things because for one game, you know, I mean, we won't play Paoli again. So why would I have changed everything for one game? And, you know, so if I let our quarterback just go out of there and check, and you know, then you're talking, they're going to know exactly what you're doing, you know. Heck, they may have knew it before we did it anyway. But so we let them check a lot this week at practice and let them just find the best play that they wanted to run in certain situations. And I think when you let the leaders, who you think should be the leaders of your offense, you know, take over and call plays and things like that, I think you get a lot better. And obviously they start understanding things a little bit better. And, you know, Seth Thompson's a quarterback there at that freshman level, and he's darn good. I mean, he's a guy that I think could compete, you know, for a backup job right now. He's definitely a guy that I look at, and he's a competitor. He hates to lose. Heck, I had him in soccer 2 days ago when we were in gym, and boy, he was getting all fired up, pushing people down. I told him, hey, you got to calm down a little bit here. You know, he's competitive, and he loves to compete, and that's the type of kid he loves to coach, you know. And there's a whole bunch of them in that crew.
Yeah, big class of freshmen, and good to see them, you know, like you said, get some playing time in those freshman games, and a lot of them, I'm sure, for the years, that's going to see some JV time as well, and a few of them might even see a little varsity action before it's over with. But, you know, great to see the kids out, and, you know, got a big game this week, traveling down to Silver Creek to take on the Dragons, But, you know, opening up the Mid-Southern Conference, that's a, another whole new season there. So looking forward to that one, and hopefully we'll have a big crowd out. I think, like you said, the fans were excited Friday night after that that game over at Paoli. And, you know, just to be have that opportunity against a very good football team and a chance to win, regardless of how we played, I think was very – very impressive, and I think people are fired up about Southern football right now.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what we want. You know, we talk about playing for six championships. You know, you got to start the first one with the MSC, you know, and then and they got the opportunity this week to come out and start that first step toward that title. And, you know, that's the goal. I mean, we don't talk about just beating Silver Creek. Yeah, we want to win that game, and we're going to do everything we can to win that game. But you know, when you talk about playing for championships, you're talking about you put your kids in a different mentality. You know, not just to beat the team you're playing, but let's beat every one of them so you're playing for these championships. You know, MSC is something that's one of their goals as a team. So we get the first step this week, and hopefully we go out and play well and execute, and hopefully we get to put on a better show offensively than we did last week. And we can't put on much, but worse show. So it'll get a little better this week, and we'll go from there.
Well, you know, injury-wise, everybody healthy, should have everybody ready to go this Friday, or any issues there?
No injuries. I mean, we've got some issues. We've got some guys that won't play just right. For some reasons that, you know, that we've talked to them about. And but, you know, obviously we were without Modlin for the, you know, he's not going to play this week, but got a couple other guys that just got to start making the right decision. You know, we're going to hold them accountable to the things that we ask them to do, and you know, we love them, and they know we love them, but there's certain standards you got to hold to be part of the Salem football team.
Well, looking forward to it. Good luck this Friday night as you head down there to Silver Creek. Hopefully have a big crowd follow us down there for that one. If you can't get out to the game, you can always hear it live here on WSLM Radio 97.9 on your FM dial here. That game, 7 o'clock. Still on for Friday night. So looking forward to that. And, Coach, we appreciate you joining us here tonight. And hopefully you got you something to eat over there, eat and drink. And last week you had that ice cream cone. I didn't think you was ever going to get that thing down. I was waiting for you to get over here on the air. And you were up there milking that ice cream.
Yeah, watch talk about ice cream. My daughter's listening. She'll be thinking I need to bring her an ice cream cone home. So
you might need to bring her
home. Hey, as hot as it is out today, it'll melt before I even get to the parking lot.
That's a good day for ice cream.
Absolutely.
Sure.
So, hey, we appreciate it. And, you know, we look forward to seeing everybody Friday. And, obviously, we're going to try to put on a show. So, appreciate it.
Okay, thanks, Coach Hartsfield, as he joins us here tonight on our Coach's Corner program. As we mentioned, once again, the Lions taking on the Silver Creek Dragons, game time 7 p.m. Down there at Silver Creek in Sellersburg. So make the trip down there. If you haven't been down to Sellersburg, which we haven't yet to play them at home, their field is located right behind their high school gymnasium there in Sellersburg. So not too hard to find. Make sure you get down there and cheer on your Lions in that contest. As that game gets underway, our broadcast will start at 6:45, and then game time for the kickoff at 7 p.m. There at Silver Creek as the Lions take on the Dragons in that Mid-Southern Conference battle this Friday night live there. And you can listen to it, as we mentioned, here on WSLM Radio 97.9 on your FM dial. I want to thank our sponsors again here for Coach's Corner, Eddie Gilstrap Motors, Salem True Value Hardware, Meadowview Health and Rehab, and Salem Crossing for bringing you tonight's Coach's Corner program, as we still got quite a bit of football to talk about, as we'll get Coach Bisman in here shortly, as he'll be talking to us about the West Washington Senators. They're coming off a big win to open the season last Friday night down at Eastern in that county clash, as the Senators get a big victory there last Friday, as they'll take on Crawford County this coming Friday night there at West Washington, as they have their home opener on the season. So Coach Bisman stepping in with us now here after he had a word with Coach Hartsfield, and those two guys know each other well, been battling for several years, and good rivalry there between the two coaches as Coach Bisman joins us here on our Coach's Corner program tonight. First thing we say to you is congratulations. Big win. I know you was a little tense last week, a little worried about this one, as you are every year to get ready and open the season. I think everybody is, but it was good to see you come out with a victory. A shame that we always hate to see any of our county teams lose, but with that being said, that's why we play the game, and unfortunately for Eastern, the Senators come out ready to play, and that game got started off with some fireworks. Yeah. I mean, they made a mistake, fumbled that kickoff return, and then you guys were able to capitalize on the first play from scrimmage, getting it in the end zone, but then you kick back off, and they come out on their first play from scrimmage and throw the kind of a flea flicker type play pass down the field and scored, and it was 8-8. And, everybody was thinking, hey, we got ourselves a great ball game if it stays like this the rest of the night. But that was 30 seconds into the game. Yeah. People didn't even have a chance to somebody told me, he said, half the people hadn't even sat down yet. And there was already 8 points for each team on the board. But then after that, your team had both teams kind of settled down a little bit. Got their sea legs under them, so to speak, and you guys kind of took control with the run game. Tyler Dunn having a great ball game down there for you. I didn't see his final stats. I'm sure you'll let us know what they were, but I know he had a great game on the ground, and Coach Stablo said we just didn't have an answer for Dunn at all.
Yeah, you know, we started off great. We've been telling the kids all week, which, proved evident for the Musketeers, too, that they were probably telling their kids the same thing. We felt like that. With our game plan going in, we were going to try to set up on the left hash to initially anyways to run our little screen that we ran to score on the first play of the game. So we've been telling the kids all week, we feel like we can score opening play of the game. We feel like we can do this. Well, we were fortunate enough to recover that fumble on the kickoff and was able to punch it in. And we joked about it this past week with us coaches that when you tell kids something's going to happen and then it happens, that's just great. The kids just start, they really buy in. And, then we come back and we were prepared for counter. We were prepared for crisscross, but we joked again this week that we weren't prepared for crisscross flea flickers. And, we give them all kinds of credit because, we do that a lot. We'll find some right. things to do and throw a trick play in for the week. And, and I remember those days as a player having yeah. those things. And
as a player, you love those kind of plays yeah. too because it's
and,
fun.
Yeah, and what a great play to run in the opening game of the year. Your county rival try to set the tone and get some momentum. And, I said it in the newspaper that I'm really glad that we were able to recover that kickoff because, I would like to think that we would have came back and regained our composure if that happened to us. First play went down 8-0. Or 7-0, depending on the situation. But, we were fortunate enough to be on the upside of that, and we talked to the kids. They got us. Bottom line, they got us, and now we just got to settle down and play. And right. I felt like we did defensively. We were very physical. We stress that every day. We want to be the most physical team on the field every night, and I felt like we were in all phases. Our kickoff team was phenomenal as far as flying down and being physical. We had three tackles inside the 20 with a kickoff, and give Brendan Grimes credit to that as a kicker. He kicked a couple down to the 5. He kicked one down to the 2. And, we got speed to comply down. And three tackles inside the 20 is really good for high school.
Right.
So, that helped us a lot.
He's really developed, let's touch yeah. on him a little bit. He's really developed into a really good kicker yeah. for you. I know a couple of years ago you kind of threw him to the wolves that one game. I think your main kicker, if I'm correct.
As a freshman, early. We got going, and finally I just said, he's a great kicker. We're going to let him do it. And,
right.
I felt like he would develop, and he has. And, Misty Jones works with him daily, and she does a great job with him. And, yeah. She just comes up with drills and instructs him, and it's nice to have someone that can take your kicker to the side and really focus on that aspect of it. And Brennan's just got a great leg, and as the season goes and into next year, I think we can start seeing some touchbacks, and that's a weapon when you
sure
can start a team inside the 20 or on the 20,
especially if they got a good return unit.
Yeah.
When you can put that thing back there in the end zone and don't have to worry about somebody taking one to the house.
I laughed a little because went out to mom's that weekend after the game, and the very first thing she said about the game was, "Wow, your kicker's really good." I mean, it was the whole game, all the great things that we had, but she noticed how great the kicker was.
Well, and that's true.
And he is. He's a great kicker, and he did a great job. And, you know, it allows our defense it takes a little pressure off us and puts it on the opponent's offense. And, you know, so we were very physical in all phases. And then the line, I mean, there's a picture in the paper where Tyler's just running through a gaping hole, and our line just did a great job blocking for Tyler, and Tyler knows that. Tyler ended up, I think, stat-wise, he was 35 carries for 275 yards, 3 touchdowns. Just a hard-nosed kid. I mean, he's 5'6", 5'7", 195 pounds, strong kid, and he's got great feet. You know, so he's able to be an elusive runner, but at the same time, if it comes down to it, he can become a powerful runner with great speed too. So we're very fortunate to have him and the abilities that he has to allow us to have a power running game, and then, you know, to balance that with our passing attack and make us pretty effective.
Right, and it's, you know, as Coach Doblo and I talked about, it's, you know, sometimes hard to defend. You know, I mentioned the spread word. He said they didn't need the spread. It wouldn't have mattered what kind of offense they were running. You know, Tyler Dunn just really, really played well and took it to us. And
well, when your line allows your running back to get to the linebacker before he's hit,
right?
You know, that size and speed that Tyler has allowed him to get going before the first contact. You know, sometimes before his first contact, he was 3-5 yards deep. You know, so the line just did a great job to allow him to get going before he even got any initial contact.
Well, big game for you, a great way for you to start the season. You get that first victory under your belt, and, you know, that's huge for a football team to, you know, get that first one under the way. The you know, the butterflies are out, and, you know, that game, and you feel good, and the confidence level raises for your younger kids that are, you know, maybe playing their first varsity action, and, you know, good to get that W. This week, you got Crawford County coming in, a football program that, you know, has struggled with their numbers, but I think they're a little more solid this year. And, you know, tell us what we can expect out of them coming in this Friday night.
Well, and Crawford last year at max dressed 18 kids against us on a Friday night. That's all they had total. Can't see the JV game, everything. This year they're up to 48 kids on the roster.
Good.
With lots of athletes. I mean, there's athletes down there. They just, you know, need time to develop them, you know, need to spend time in the weight room and on the field with them. But, you know, they've made great strides from last year. Their coaching staff has a great scheme with the personnel that they have. You know, they're running lots and lots of jet sweep, running it out of spread looks. They go under center with it, but they run the spread, with, you know, two by two. Sometimes they'll go empty and get some trips out there into it as well. And every once in a while, those slots are going to come in a little tighter and play more of a wing. But at any rate, their main focus is getting to the edge, jet sweep. They got a great running back or slot that's going to run that jet sweep. A couple of other guys that can counter him and, you know, do a great job too. But the number 81, I don't remember his name right now, but he's a great athlete, so we're going to have to really fly to the football with him. And then with that misdirection, they try to get you inside with some traps and then their play action roll out and some things. But they've come along very nicely in the last, I mean, even from last season, but here in the last few months, just talking to Coach Hess, you know, first day of school, I think they only had 18 kids come to the program, but they've built their numbers, and they're doing the right things to try to rebuild that program. And, you know, it's going to be very important for us to get off to a good start. Told the kids this week, we don't want to be in a dogfight Friday night, and that's going to be determined in the first 5 minutes of the game. So we need to make sure we get out and execute and play our game, be physical, and don't, you know, we want doubt in Crawford County's minds in the first 5 minutes of the game, and, you know, kind of set the tone of where we're going to be, you know, come the final minutes of that game.
I didn't catch who they opened up with week one.
North Harrison. They were up 12-6 after one.
Really?
And ended up getting beat 26-12.
Okay.
They took the lead to start the game 6-0. Eventually, I think after the first quarter, it was up 12-6.
And North Harrison, another team that has improved quite a bit.
They're getting better at scrimmage then.
Right.
They're physical. And, you know, they got some good athletes as well. And, you know, Crawford County had lots of success with them. I don't know their stat lines, but I do know that they ran the ball well against them. And, you know, with their play action, was able to get some things over the top on them down the field with some vertical routes. So, you know, they're coming on, and Coach Hess told me, he said, we're not going to run the clock much this year. That's their goal. And he said, we're going to surprise some people. So I told our kids, we better not be the ones that get surprised this week. You know, we need to come out and play at a high level, regardless of our opponent. Don't overlook anybody.
Right.
We don't want this thing to be close at all. And, you know, we don't want to be in a dogfight, and we want to come out and play, you know, as close to perfection as you can as a team. You know, the reality of it is that's just not going to happen 100%, but we do want to execute. We do want to be physical.
Well, I think that's one reason why I brought that point up was because I knew their numbers had increased, throughout the summer. And then also, you know, like you said, someone had told me that they had a lot of kids step in right after school started and pick up the equipment and play. And, you know, a team like that, you know, coming in, you know, a lot of the fans look at it and say, oh, well, they about folded the tents last year. But, you know, it's a different Crawford County squad. It's not one of those games where, which none of them are that way, but, you know, point taken that, you know, that you can't just go out there and show up and expect to win the ball game. They're going to come ready to play.
Yeah, and, you know, they've got confidence because their numbers are up. You know, they had that success against North Harrison last week, and I know they're looking at film because we watched their film and thought, this happens a little different here or there. It was 20-12 late in the fourth quarter. They were down, and, you know, a few things happened just a little bit different. They're tying the ball game. So, you know, they look at those things, you know, and say, hey, we got to make those plays at this time of the game. So their confidence is going to be up, and, you know, that's why it's going to be important. We don't overlook them and come out flat. And we were talking after practice about, you know, we don't have those kind of kids on the board that's going to come out flat. And, you know, we're going to come out because they do. They want to play well. They're not going to overlook anybody. And I think they take the same business approach to every game regardless of our opponent. And, you know, as a coach, you can't ask for anything. You know, that's the greatest thing to have as a coach is kids. You don't have to convince each week that they have to play at a high level and stay focused. They know it. They know that it's expected. And, you know, I feel like this is a group that will stay that way throughout the entire season.
Yeah, your defense, once again, last Friday night come out, gave up the one score, and then was able to shut Eastern out the rest of the way. And I really thought, you know, we talked about this last week on our opener here on Coach's Corner, but, you know, your defense, I thought last season really elevated your team to the level that they were at, you know, at the end of the year there, winning that sectional game. And, you know, who plays well for you there on that side of the ball? Who was your standout this week?
Well, coming into that game, I felt like our front was pretty solid. We had a couple guys returning, and we started out in the game in 5-2, and we had three of our four starting DBs back. So, you know, we felt like we had guys in front and guys, you know, in the secondary to balance out those linebackers that were going to be pretty green. Because you got Landon Peters that came in. We started in as a freshman. Dakota Young started at linebacker some. And then Dakota Gaines came in and played a lot for us. And, you know, Young did a great job, but then he started getting a lot more minutes throughout that game offensively. And Gaines had been a little dinged up that week. So we sat him early in the week, so we didn't start him. And once he comes in, does a great job, ends up having, I think, 13 tackles, maybe a sack, a couple for a loss. Landon McPeters, first debut starting as a freshman linebacker, had 16 tackles and just flew around. And, you know, he didn't look like a freshman out there on the field. And, you know, our D-line, a lot of credit goes to them, you know, because they allowed our linebackers to roam and run free and make plays and, you know, did a great job of putting pressure in the backfield. And I feel like our DBs, we've got great DBs that are physical and have the ability to come up and be great run support, but at the same time have a great awareness and ball skills to make the play, whether it's vertical routes or underneath routes, and rally to the ball and make the play on the football.
Game plan coming in, Crawford County Friday night. Do you do anything different to prepare week to week, or is it pretty much – business as usual for the Senators?
Well, we got as multiple as we are offensively. I feel like we're that multiple defensively. And, you know, from an offensive standpoint, we take that same approach every week, and we give them multiple looks, and we focus on the same types of things all week. But defensively, kind of the same deal. Where we get the mixture of things or the multiple looks is in our coverages, how we roll things, how we, you know, we may send corners, you know, up into the flats and drop safeties off, different things with our secondary that we can disguise things. And, you know, we're going to be multiple front from an even front to an odd front. But, you know, everything pretty well stays within our scheme week in and week out. And then you just tweak things a little bit. You know, this week, their go-to thing is a jet sweep. So we are going to have a little bit of stuff that's going to focus to slow down their jet sweep. But at the same time, you know, we've got to be aware of the traps and the things that they're going to try to get the misdirection in and hit us with traps and things up inside. So, you know, we can't overplay. And the key is going to be, and that we've stressed all week, is it's player fundamentals and don't get out of control and start doing things on your own. And if you stay within our game plan week in and week out, you're pretty well going to see the same kind of stuff.
You got a big senior class this year, probably as big as you've had for a while.
Yeah, 13.
My second year. You got 13 seniors.
My second year, we had 16. We got 13 this year.
Yeah, so but probably the second biggest senior class you've had since you've been there.
All right.
So a great class of leaders. You know, you got some kids in there that have saw a lot of football varsity-wise and, some great leaders in that bunch.
Yeah, those 13 guys, probably four to six of them, at least four or five, have started since they were sophomores. And that's big, and helped us win a sectional title as juniors. And as freshmen, they were on the team and probably played quite a bit of special teams in the sectional finals of the Milan a few years ago. So we've got a lot of guys that have been around and been on the field on Friday nights, whether it's special teams or starting defensively since their sophomore year. So we got a great senior class that brings us a lot of experience. And, you know, most of those guys are leaders by example, but we got those guys out there too that can do it all. And you know, we're excited about this senior class and the work ethic they bring, and you know, the type of leadership that they bring to this team. That we feel like that if we stay healthy and can be fortunate enough, as we have been in the past, to make another, you know, deep run, have a successful regular season, and hopefully advance deep in the playoffs.
Pretty solid numbers wise. We talked about this last week, all through all the classes, down through the freshman group as well. Mm-hmm. So a pretty good nucleus there for your football team in a 1A school.
Yeah.
You know, to have the numbers and you know, I know your numbers have continued to increase. We're seeing that even now, you know, all the way down into the youth ranks. That's the most youth that I can remember you guys having since I've been around the youth program. Probably since you guys come into the youth program, as far as the numbers you got, I think 27 or 8 in the third and fourth grade, and 26 or 7 in the fifth and sixth. So that's got to be encouraging for you as a head football coach to know that, you know, the interest is there. The kids are definitely wanting to play football, and, you know, almost got enough to start splitting those up out there and having two instead of one.
Yeah, we got to be careful. We got to keep those numbers just where I need them to stay together as one. But no, seriously, we're very excited about it. And, you know, you give a lot of credit to our high school players and those guys that put in all the work and all the time, because, you know, we've had so many teams in the past that are give credit to help with these numbers, because when you have success in the upper levels, the younger kids come, they watch those games, they start looking up to those kids, and they want to be a part of it and want to, you know, one day be in their shoes. And, you know, I think that's a lot of why our numbers are where they're at now. And, you know, we try to get down there and see those kids and talk to them in the halls, and we have our youth camps and things like that, that just to make it fun, exciting, you know, try to do things. Or we're unfortunate that at our school, during sectional time, when we go on the road, we get to do a walk through the elementary, and all the kids K through 6 are in the halls, and we do our little parade and walk the whole team through and see those kids, and, you know, just anything to put the eyes on the program that makes them want to be a part of it. And,
right.
You know, I think things are being done right, and the kids are getting excited about it, and we're fortunate enough to have those numbers.
Yeah, definitely are, and a great thing to see, and numbers is always something that, you know, football is a numbers game, and we all know that. And, you know, it's great to see the kind of interest that you're having right now in West Washington football, and have had for the last several years, but it continues to grow. Well, week two, seems like it's hard to believe. Week one's under the belt, and you got a big victory there over the Musketeers, and you head into your home opener. I know you're looking for a big crowd out there at Art Sanders Field this Friday night as you take on the Crawford County Wolfpack. And your game is one of the games that did get moved back. So you're at 8 o'clock.
Right.
Start there at Art Sanders Field and get out there and support your Senators. And also, if you can't make it out to the game, you can always listen to it right here on WSLM Radio, 1220 AM, as Matthew Deaton and the boys bring the call of that one out there. And those guys are doing a great job. Yeah. They stepped in last week. It was their first game ever, debut-wise, and I thought they did an excellent job. I went back and listened to a little bit of the tape on Sunday, and they did a good job with it.
Yeah, I'm excited about them, and I think they're having a great time with it. And, you know, I'm excited to have those guys up there and, you know, representing us and being able to get the ball game out there. And, you know, we're thankful for them. And Friday night's going to be a big night. We've had great crowds. Our inner squad, our regular season scrimmage, and then down last weekend, we had a phenomenal crowd. And we hope to continue to bring that crowd in and everyone come out and support. There's nothing better than to turn around and see that in the stands. And, you know, we're thankful for the community that we have. And, you know, hopefully we're able to come out and play the style of football and the type of game that we think we can. And, come away with another win and just kind of keep taking one week at a time and move that, you know, each step towards our goals of winning the county and winning the conference. So, you know, that's our approach each week.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to that one. So get out there and support your Senators. Everybody healthy for you this week?
We're a little dinged. You know, Tyler Holliday, it was the second offensive series or so. He runs a sweep and comes up a little lame and runs over to me and goes, I'm pretty sure I just broke my leg. So I don't think he probably did if you're running off.
He wouldn't have been running to you if he'd broken.
And Tyler gutted it out midway through the second quarter, maybe a little before that, goes back in and late in the game ends up catching a little screen and scampers, I don't know, 20, 30 yards down the sideline for a touchdown, even exploded down the sideline with a burst. And but at any rate, his ankle's tweaked a little bit, and I don't know if it's high ankle sprain. He went and got an x-ray today. We'll know a little more tomorrow, maybe if he's got a little crack or a fracture in it. But we've got him in a boot just to kind of immobilize it a little. And so he's going to set tomorrow or Friday night. And then Brendan Grimes has been sick all week. And, you know, he went to the doctor today and think he's probably got strep, getting some medicine. But I just texted his mom today and said just get him healthy and we'll see him next week. Because there's no point in trying to get him back this week. He's going to probably be a little weak, and then that's a risk of getting everybody else sick. So we've got guys that we can plug in, and we'll just keep moving. We had to deal with a little adversity Friday night when Tyler got dinged. John Brennan dislocated a finger and put it back in at halftime and came back. And, you know, so we had to face some of that. And, you know, what that does is makes you deeper as you go into the season and get everybody healthy. So we are going to miss a few guys, but I feel like, you know, we're gonna be just fine, shouldn't miss a beat. And just keep going. And then when we got everybody back after a sickness and a little ankle here or there, then that's just going to make us that much stronger. So, yeah, we're going to miss those guys and not having them on the field. But we feel like we'll just keep going. And, you know, no changes in what we want to do.
Well, good luck to you Friday night. Appreciate you coming in this evening. And congratulations once again on that opening season victory there over the Musketeers. And looking forward to Crawford County on Friday night.
Thanks, and we'll hope to see everybody out there tomorrow or Friday night. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Coach Bisman joins us here on the Coach's Corner program this evening, and that's going to wind our program down here. Want to thank all of our sponsors here on Coach's Corner, Eddie Gilstrap Motors, Salem True Value Hardware, Meadowview Health and Rehab, and also Salem Crossing for bringing you tonight's Coach's Corner program, and also our gracious host here at McDonald's, Marie Lowry and the gang taking care of us here each and every Wednesday night on our Coach's Corner program. So that's all the time we got. I want to remind you of our broadcast coming up on Friday night. Eastern Musketeers will be down at Clarksville. 8 o'clock start for that one as the Musketeers take on the Generals in that opener of the Mid-Southern Conference. At 8 o'clock, you can listen to that game live here on WSLMradio.com. The Salem Lions will be in action at Silver Creek. So far, still a 7 o'clock start, 6:45 pregame here on WSLM 97.9 FM. And then the West Washington Senators at home against the Crawford County Wolfpack, 12:20 a.m. That game starting also at 8 p.m., so pregame 7:45 or so, live from West Washington. Well, that's all the time we've got tonight. So for Philip Bousman, this is Bub Abbott. We say God bless you, and we'll see you Friday night here on the radio.